Mind Gap Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Mind Gap Podcast. I'm Doug.
I'm Justin, and Doug, between the two of us, who do you think would be most likely to become famous over nothing, and why?
It's unfortunately me, because I fucking hate everything. And I mean, if you've seen any of the clips from this, I mean, Jesus Christ, the engagement we got from my hot take on the grocery carts. You know what
I mean? Oh, man, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, you,
I immediately when I read this, I'm like, well, it's going to be Doug, because Doug is the one who would welcome it the least, and it would affect him the worst.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the clip I had about curling, you know, if someone wrote, you obviously haven't tried curling, get out there and do it. I'm like, yeah, obviously I haven't, but no. I played shuffleboard.
You obviously haven't tried curling, right?
Yeah.
And I don't plan on it.
I honestly don't know many people. I personally haven't met anyone that has. As if it's like, oh yeah, just head on down to the corner curling gym.
There's only one place that I've ever heard had curling. It was at a bar in Chicago called Kaiser Tiger. And in the winter, they have an outdoor shuffleboard thing that they turn into a curling rink. And that's the only place in my life that I've ever heard that does curling.
And
so unless you know where Kaiser Tiger is.
In the springtime, they get in really fashionable outfits and goose step around. You know,
exactly. It's a
for the
fun
Kaiser,
bar. Yeah.
You know, very interesting. You know,
they only serve pilsners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it would be, unfortunately, be me, just because
without a
most of the things I see on here and I clip out, I'm like, I think this is funny. But I often find out that's just like, I don't know. We've gotten such just like, we don't get a lot of positive feedback.
Our engagement tends to skew more towards the fuck you guys.
It's always the people that are like, hey, I'm going to take time out of my day to tell you why someone who's pulling the cart from the front actually may, you know, it's very ableist of you to call them out for doing that.
Dude,
it's like, really?
That clip got so, that caught like wildfire. And we got so much anger, anger around that one. And it was like the best morning ever. Just roll in. You're like, oh man, all of you people.
I've never seen anyone, because they're like, wow, can you imagine what it'd be like to marry to this guy? I was like, yeah, she knows. I remind her every day.
Forget being married. Imagine what it's like to live in this head. It's rough.
Yeah. And they're like, oh man. It's like, geez, Karen. Just, do you really give a shit? I was like, listen. I don't know. I don't see you putting a podcast out there sharing your thoughts with the world.
Right.
Rusty.
The best part that I don't know if they don't realize it. And I feel like it's that or B, they're just leaning into it. I think it's the fact that they don't realize it. Because the same thing happens with stand-ups is you look at them and go, guy, this is a podcast. Like we're joke. Like half of what we're saying, we feel, but we don't feel that strongly about. Like we're obviously some things we lean into way more. Like the amount of time during your day that your brain is occupied with thoughts about carts is not as much as everyone thinks it is based on that clip. Like those people that were commenting would have you believe that Doug wakes up and is like, I wonder who the fuck I'm going to see at the store today.
Right. Or the fact that people are like, they're like, imagine being a guy who records this. I was like, I don't know. Have you listened to a podcast ever? Like
it's jokes.
Yeah. Often see a lot. Some of the best clips come from people who are ranting and raving about the littlest things, you know, because they have just fucking Anthony Jeselnik was commenting on the woman in Florida who had the OnlyFans decal on her car.
Was he?
Yeah, it was great. He's basically like, that is one of the most classless people I've ever heard of. Like he goes, listen, OnlyFans, good for you. He goes, you need to, advertise for OnlyFans, girl, go get that bag. He's like putting a decal on the same car that you used to drop your kids off at school. You're a fucking idiot. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, that's gross. Like, that's really gross. Like, just And guess what? We had the same thought. It's out there, man. Like, people are just talking about shit. And hey, we're a couple of nobodies. It's all good. It's fine. We do this because we have fun or whatever.
Couple of dorks.
It's just. it's just one of those things where I'm like, where someone's like, I got to pause my day, my viewing, to right. sit down and say, hey, you're making a big deal out of nothing. I'm like, welcome to the human experience.
Yeah.
Welcome to modern day where we make a big deal out of nothing.
Well, here's the thing I'll say to that too, is to all those people, God bless you. Because, and this is coming from a guy, this is the non-fundy Christian one. That's from, mm-hmm. that's Doug, right? This yeah. is coming from, God bless you guys, because that's just engagement. That's all that yeah. is.
Right.
So keep them coming.
Yeah. We accept all.
Sure. Share it with your friends.
Say be like, all,
check these guys out.
I do have some moderation settings on, so we don't accept all. But, right. you know, share your thoughts, gang.
We're pretty liberal with what we allow in there.
Yeah. 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 Butt stuff. I tell you what, I think it was the Mankini from last week. Most people were like,
not touching this one.
I don't think people really. It amazes me how uncomfortable stuff like that makes people.
Yeah.
The idea of a Mankini, I don't think it's very attractive. But right. the idea of like even discussing a Mankini, I think just puts so many dudes off. I'm just like, relax. Relax.
Why?
You're going to be okay.
If someone's got the cojones to wear those, fucking great. Good for you. Because I don't.
Listen.
Lord knows,
I think it's
one
of the silliest things I've ever seen.
It's fantastic.
Just because it's, you know, listen, just wear a Speedo. That's cool with me. The idea that you're like, I have to have this thing strapped over my shoulder like
it's
suspenders
amazing.
To keep my balls, my dick and balls in place. It's like, all right, whatever. You know, you do you. I don't mad that people wear it, but the idea of like you mentioned, people are like, oh. It's like, ah, fucking relax. You know, it's way worse things out there. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ.
Oh,
Justin,
Jesus.
If you were to get famous overnight for something you said, what, if you could guess, is it said or do? I forget what the question was.
I closed it. get famous over, I think it said over nothing and why.
Yeah, over nothing. Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah.
What's the most?
So it could be either one. Yeah.
What do you think it would be?
Oh, man, that's a really good. I feel like just with the amount of stuff that we put out from this podcast, I feel like it would have to default to something that was said or done on this podcast. The only other thing I could think of is, I don't know. I still have the fear going to the gym that I'm going to do something wrong or use some piece of equipment wrong. And I'm going to be, you know, or I see all the people. So we do the center, Doug and I did the center app for our fitness. And when some of the weightlifting things, they have you do like a superset. And so they'll have you do a 30, like with heavier weights, six reps at a 30% incline, six reps at a 15, six reps at a zero. And every time I do six reps, I get up. I move it down. I sit down. I do six reps. I get up, move it down. I think in my head, I'm like, do some of these muscle heads just think like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Because I feel silly. So like, it's something like that. Funny. I feel like something like that would go viral. And I'd be like,
that's the thing is, it's like, look at this guy adjusting his bench and be like, you guys are fucking dicks.
He's only doing six reps. Yeah.
Like different. Anyone with a brain and a protractor could look at that and say, he's doing it different angles. He's affecting different things, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, Doug, not a lot of people bring their protractor to the gym. I know you and I are different in
that
regard.
It's in my
I know, you and I are different.
Always have a protractor.
I see very few people pulling that out at the gym.
Quick gym story, actually, now that you mentioned it. I had a good interaction with a dude. It's a guy. Another,
that's two good interactions for you.
Right? Yeah. Right? And I was doing some incline stuff. And this guy came over. He's like, hey, man, is it cool if like I work it into a set? I'm like, yeah, go ahead. No problem. And then I finished up. I go, hey, this is my last set. If you want this bench, whenever I'm done, you can have it. He's like, oh, that's great. So I did. I was like, all yours. He was like super grateful and everything.
Yeah.
And then I was going to go on and do a different chest exercise. I was looking to do like some cable pulls for like flies.
Sure.
But the cable machine was occupied. The other places where I could do cable things were occupied. The chest fly machines, both of them were occupied.
Oh boy.
I looked for just a straight bench, all occupied, but there was one other incline bench that was available that I was just on. It was a different one, but it was the exact same thing.
Yeah,
so I was like, I left, walked around, came back, and then I was doing it like right by this guy. And I did a couple sets. He came over, he goes, hey man, why'd you give up the bench? I was like, I was looking to do flies. But all the other ones were taken. So in this situation, I take what I'm given and I did this. And he's like, that's cool, man. He's like, oh, that's, he goes, multiple times, he's like, dude, you're a big dude. Like, you're a big fucking guy. He's like, you know, flies are good. He goes, you know, you should try like the cable machines. I go, I know. And I pointed over, I go, occupied. He's like, ah, shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I go, yeah, yeah, that's what I was doing. But like, he was super cool. He's like, what's your name? I was like, what's your name? Yeah, and like, yeah. it was a really nice interaction. I loved how he came over. He could have just let it go, but he's like, hey, man,
why'd you give up?
The like, bench? What's going on? I was like, I realized how this looks.
Pressuring you, was I? Yeah.
I was like, I realize how this looks, right? I just gave it up and then immediately moved to a different bench. You know, he was just kind of like, what's going on? I'm like, everything's busy in here right now. And I work with what I got. So, you know, it is what it is. I think if anything, you'd be known for probably a clip like.
Just finger blasted ourselves. It was great.
And
you know what? I stand by it. It was great.
It was great. You know, everything's awesome. That's what they say.
Everything's awesome, especially when you're in the subway. You got that one?
Stand by.
Surprise, motherfucker.
That was it, right?
That was me.
You hear that all the time?
Yep. I say that a lot. I would lick the pole.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the two.
Yeah. I should organize these better. I'm like, oh, shit. I don't know, man. Yeah. Well, Justin... This was, you know what? Hold on. Do we have it? Another one where I'm like, here we go.
This is a Mind Gap exclusive.
Haven't heard that one in a while.
Yeah. So this just came up. Justin, a couple weeks ago, while he was, you know, was this when you were, yeah, it was when you were doing your tour to all the different sewer systems.
Yep.
You flew on a plane and you sent me a message that I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
We got to talk about this on the podcast and we totally fucking forgot for a couple weeks. And I was like, how do we forget about this? So Justin, what's your news? What did you tell me?
I, 40 years after coming into this world, finally used the bathroom on an airplane for the very first time.
Oh my gosh. Listen,
I'm just saying.
Oh boy. You know, that deserves an...
I was hoping I was going to get the Mario level up music. God damn it.
No.
That's gross.
Every time I do that, I always throw it out there. You haven't expected it yet, and you're always like, ugh, grossed out by it. So
I do not like it.
Yeah. So, tell me about your airplane bathroom experience.
So the trip to California is always longer than... Like, mentally, I know how long the flight is. But during the flight, I'm always like, we got to be close. And then they're like, I'll look at the tracker and it's like an hour and a half. I'm like, God damn it. Like, we're not close. And so I think we're just over an hour away. And I was like, man, I got to, if we were under 45 minutes, I'd hold this. But I'm going to piss my pants if I don't. Like, there's no way. So I was like, it's game time. So waited. I got up, made my way to the back. And again, never done this before. So I had no, I don't even know what the inside of the, like all my only reference point is from film and TV, right? So I have no idea what I'm walking into. So I go to the back.
I imagine you went to like the crew quarters and you were just like, do I just do it in here? There's a little hole in here. Do I do just like peeing in whatever hole you can find?
Do I take this door off? What happens?
What happens?
So
you're peeing in everyone's in-flight meal. Just I don't know where to go.
You're peeing in the coffee machine. You've obviously seen a coffee machine before.
I thought it was different on the airplane.
I don't know. I've never done this. So I walk back to the back, you know, past the flight attendants who are sitting there, and it did struggle with, because I thought there were two back there and there wasn't. So I did do that. Like, I lingered for a little too long looking for another one. So I'm standing back in their little quarters looking around, and I'm sure they had this thought of like, oh, Christ, what is this one doing now?
Yeah, right.
I just saw the one. I'm like, all right, cool. So I went in, and it is way smaller than I thought it was. Holy shit. I knew it was small, but man, that was some cramped quarters.
Yeah.
And it took me a solid like 90 seconds to 2 minutes to really familiar, like, because everything is like really well compartmentalized and hidden under this, and the toilet paper's here, and this is I was like, all right, where is everything first to get acclimated? And then I put the toilet seat up to begin going, and immediately we hit turbulence. And I was like, this sucks. So I'm
pissing everywhere, baby.
So I'm just pissing. Yeah, so I'm sitting there just like trying to brace myself in there. I'm like, I got it. Here we go. finished it up and walked out, and I was like, well, there you go. I can knock that off the bucket list. And the first person I was like, we landed. And I'm like, Doug, you're never going
to
guess.
Dude, now imagine if you had to take a shit in there.
No. See, that's, I feel like I would have shit my pants before I took a shit in there. I don't think I could have done that, man.
Like, why? Just because it was so small?
Well, it was so small, but also like just the peer pressure, like knowing that, because how busy the bathroom, like when you're looking to go to the bathroom, I don't pay attention to it normally, but when you're waiting for someone to get out and you see like, you see other people like on the edge of their seats, you're like, all right, so there's an unspoken queue here. Like we've all queued up and I've got to figure out what place I am in that queue based off of who's leaning forward the most.
Yeah.
And so like, I was like,
if they walk so in many- there, listen, you take a shit, you're going to, you know, that's that little flap there is going to be covered with shit. You know,
that's the other thing. Know. I'm like, oh man, this doesn't, cause I always thought you'd hit the flush button. And it was that, like, there was, I can't remember what comedy film, Tommy Boy, where he gets his tie stuck. Was like, it immediately grabbed him. And so I was expecting like some like deep air pressure coming out of that hole, and I hit it and I was like, oh my God, it's not flushing. And then it was like second and a half later it opened, but it closed real quick. And I'm like, oh, that's nothing like the movies make it look.
Yeah.
But I was like, that,
because if it's a real slopper, I mean, that one's not,
that's a multi-flush thing. And you're right. Like it's going to get caked on everywhere. So I was like, there's not enough pressure. There's no water, there's no rinse cycle. And like, that's just going to stick there. So I would never want to be in that position. I pray to God I'm never in that position.
Now, take for a moment. Really think about it.
Uh-huh.
I really wish you would have taken a moment to sit down and pee and think about what I had said about how it's hard. Like, if you have to, when you shit, you also piss. That is law, gentlemen. It's law. I don't want to hear about it.
Also, something that I noticed was that toilet bowl is not standard size, right? Nope. That is not official NBA size. Like
that's not Olympic toilet seat regulations.
That's JV size. All right. Yeah. That is regulation size. That's exactly what I was looking for. It's shallow, way shallower on the front end. So I'm like, if you're sitting and shitting and pissing, like you're just you're slapped up against it, man. There's nowhere for anything to go. You're not dangling. Nothing's happening. Like it is right up in the front.
Yeah.
It's like. Right. Cue ball corner pocket.
So
that's it.
Imagine trying to take a shit and then you're like, oh my God, I'm gonna piss everywhere.
It's happening.
Like, I have nothing to do. Like I can't stop this from happening, you know?
Yeah. That would have been a very horrendous experience. So I look, point taken.
Next time,
man,
you have to go
taken.
Be an airplane, do me a favor, sit down. Piss.
Hey.
Or God forbid you have to take a shit, sit down and take a shit, all right?
Oh man,
don't do it standing up.
I hope to God that never happens. I could now, having seen that, I never want to go through that.
You're like, please not. You're just like, you just eat so clean the days beforehand. Exactly. So you're like, you have a schedule. You're like, I'm pooping before I go.
You don't want to eat too clean because you get too much of that fiber in your system, too many grains.
Well, you have a system, so you know, like, okay, on regular. Yeah. So you time it. You're like, I take a flight based on your shitting pattern, you know? So. Yeah. Well, congratulations. Yeah. Welcome
Thank
to
you.
The club.
I feel like I've joined some sort of a Mile High club. I don't know exactly I joined.
Now think about that. Think about how people try to pull that shit off.
Oh, no,
right?
I did. That was the first thought. I walked in. Course. I'm like, how do people fucking hear?
Yeah. I tell you what. It's not something people like really enjoy. It's like, we have to hit this achievement. We have to unlock this on Steam. You know, so like, guys probably.
Steam.
You know, guy's probably raring to go, and lady's just like, all right, just go. And he's just like, buh, we did it. You know, it can't be enjoyable.
Oh, God. I don't know how. Well, first off, second, I truly, truly, truly do not understand how you get two people in there without being like, I mean, obviously some people are going to see, but like that is wildly obvious. And the flight attendants are back there just keeping an eye on shit. Like I do not understand how people pull that off.
Yeah,
baffles me. Not well.
Not well. We'll tell you that much. Well,
to no one's pleasure.
Sir.
Thank you.
I'm so happy for you.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And now a word from our sponsor. All right, here we go. Hey, you. Do you like bland, charred, chewy, yucky, cooked sausage? Of course you don't. So hop on over to Hans Saddleback's Blood Sausages. We brine our sausage in all types of blood. Pig blood, moose blood, yak spit, and rodent blood, among others. After that, our sausages go straight into an airtight jar and rest at room temp for anywhere from a couple of days to 7 years that one time. If you love sweet blood sausage and hate big botulism, then come on down to Hans Saddleback's German Blood Sausages. Use code SH33N, so that's like two threes, it's Sheen for ease. When you get to the cash register and speak with Helen, you get the Tiger Blood Special 30% off. Visit hansbloodysack.co.uk today. Real quick, Kang, if you didn't know, I host a video game live stream on Fridays at 8 p.m. Central. Last Friday was super special because Noah took over the stream. Noah Reno went rogue and took over the stream, which was great. He played some GeoGuessr. It was really cool. And shout out to Noah for hopping in and doing that. But check us out on that for, you know, all the fun video game times. Also check the link in the description down below for links to our Discord, links to our merch at Redbubble, and of course, patreon.com/mindgappodcast for all that good stuff. So be cool. Be part of the gang. Real quick, I threw this in last minute because I think it was really important.
Yeah,
this was a big deal. I won't do it again because, you know, we already did it. But
this is a Mind Gap exclusive.
I lied. I'm doing it again.
You guys are getting a lot of exclusives today.
You guys are getting it. You're getting it good. Justin played Dungeons and Dragons again.
I made my triumphant return.
Triumphant, I think, is a very generous word. The dice and everything just didn't really work in our favor. But
we haven't been able to do this.
I want
to
break this down because this is a huge deal. Oh boy,
we got the D&D music. I forgot about this.
So here's what happened. We're playing Curse of Strahd. If you're not familiar, it's a gothic vampire dark campaign. You know, all that fun stuff. It's classic. And I'm playing with my regular crew, and I had an idea for an encounter. I was trying to, for weeks, these guys have been asking, hey, how do we get Justin back in here? Like, we want Justin to come back in, even just for like a one shot or just for a one off character, whatever. I'm like, I'm trying to find something that makes sense to make this happen. So I came up with an encounter for them because I had an idea of where they were going to go. And Justin, was I pretty good on how it went as far as like my predictions?
You were spot on, because here's the thing. I thought when you presented them with the with the task at hand, the way they were debating it, I was like, oh man, they're gonna go for this. They're gonna just dive into this task without doing any sort of rest or doubling back to the tower. That I was floored. I'm like, they're not gonna do this. We're gonna have to push. And then immediately, like, I don't know what happened, but either you Jedi mind tricked them, or they were like, well, and quote unquote cooler heads prevailed, and they're like, let's just do this. And then I was like, oh fuck, we're doing this. This is on now. But you were spot on with how it was gonna happen.
Justin got a peek behind the curtain about how I plan for stuff like this as a DM, because there's only so much you can plan for, and you kind of have to just ride and roll with it.
But my God, do you have contingencies? Jesus Christ. Like, you were talking it through. You're like, all right, so if this happens, if this happens, if this happens, if this happens, but if this happens, I'm like, how do you keep this straight?
You got to prep, baby. You don't, or you don't. I mean, people have different thoughts on it.
Yeah.
But essentially what I want to do is they've encountered a vampire spawn one time, and it was a really interesting encounter. And I was like, I want to fight some more vampires again. So I had the idea of taking in Justin and the other crew. We did a previous campaign, not a campaign, a one shot with huge air quotes. It was like 15 sessions. It was, and it didn't ever, we never finished it. So they had created some characters. So I thought, wouldn't it be cool if these characters met up with their current characters, and I would play two of the characters and Justin would play his character from that campaign, and they would be vampire spawn, but they wouldn't know it. And my plan was like, either there's going to be just a straight up fight right away, or they're going to be so like tickled to death that they see their characters that they're going to forgo all caution and like be buddy buddy with them.
Yeah.
And so, and I added Justin in, and everyone was like suspicious to like, is Justin playing a character? And I played it off at the beginning. I was like, Justin has been really nervous to get back into this. And I've told him all about these excited. I go, but he's not like, he feels really, he's really second guessing himself. He's really kind of unsure. So He just wants to hang out, get an idea for the setting, and then maybe we'll bring him back for everything else, you know, as it goes along. And so, like, they seem to reasonably buy it until Justin started speaking, and then they're like, I fucking knew it. And so the way I had planned this is, like, you know, if they go down, they were going into this town refused them access because they had to do this very difficult task, and it was dark. And so they realized, like, oh shit, we have to make camp. So I was like, if they make camp, then we will approach them, you know, as travelers on the road. They see their campfire and they're just like, hello. And they were, as players, they were stoked. They're like, oh my God, it's our characters. But they rightfully, as their characters, were like super fucking suspicious.
Who are these people? Yeah.
And one of the players, Eric, he plays a paladin, and paladins have this ability called Divine Sense. And when they use it, it sort of, like, it's like sonar for the entire area, and it will ping if there's any fiends, undeads, or celestials. And he goes, I use Divine Sense. He just said it sort of like off the cuff, yep, like no big deal. And I was like, fuck it. I knew this is a real possibility.
Yep.
If he does this, these are undead creatures. It's going to ping them.
He's going to find out. Yeah.
Yeah. So as Justin said, like, two lines, and then, you know, they're like, hey, how's it going? Whatever. And Eric's like, whatever, Divine Sense. And I'm like, you used it, and they're undead. He's like, ha, that's funny. I go, no, they're undead. He's like, you're serious? I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh shit, I draw my sword, and everyone's like, fuck, they're undead. And, like, so they're either trying to come to terms with the fact that these characters that they love, yep, are now vampires. And so a fight immediately breaks out.
Yep.
And it's this very quick and brutal encounter where one of the players takes a lot of damage, and she is faced with her character, who is this adorable little halfling. She's a gnome, actually. I think she's a gnome. And I shit you not,
her
gang.
Her current or her former?
Her former character. Okay, was a gnome. I shit you not, gang. She tried to attack her old character three times. She got three natural ones. It was almost as if it was like
fate was saying no.
It was destiny to be, yeah, like, you can't do this to your character. But she fucking murdered Justin's character. Just hardcore. Straight up just murdered. Which also, by the way, a level 6 fighter. I mean, you got to see what it's like to be on the receiving end of a fucking fight.
I wondered I feel like this is not how battles happen for us. Like, we were able to sustain way more. But I was like, man, she took a couple fucking swings and I'm just down for the count.
Well, part of it, too, is that Eric made her weapon magical.
Right.
So normally touched her glaive. He touched her glaive. And it was like, what? When he making it magical means that you don't take, normally for like normal weapons, you'd take half damage, but you were taking full damage, and she gets two attacks. So she hits you two times, and then she did a bonus attack, bonus action. And then she used action surge to get two more attacks on top of that. It was just like,
it was one of those where I was like, wait a second, how many attacks did she get? She's taking too many turns, Doug.
Yeah. It was absolute slaughterhouse. But the best part of it was she did not want to kill Justin's character.
No.
Her character wanted to kill, but she, as a player, was emotionally devastated.
Like, more wrecked than I thought she was going to be.
Yeah. She was absolutely devastated. She's like, I don't want to do it. She goes, I attack. And I'm like, who do you attack? And I was like, you have to say his name! Say his name! She's like, I don't want it. And then she kills him, and we do the classic critical. I'm like, how do you do this? And she goes,
That's how she, you said, you got to say his name. She said it, and then she rolled this and this and this. And then when she rolled, okay, that hits, roll for damage. And then you just, you played the, so you paused, and you're like, how do you want to do this?
Yeah.
It was just that, like, there it is. And she knew what it meant.
She goes, I don't want to, you tell me. I go, no. You tell us all how you kill this creature.
The burden's on you.
And she's like, I guess I raise my glaive and I drive it right through his heart. I was like, and you do it. And he just cries out in pain as you do it. And then he falls silent on the ground, dead. And she was fucking devastated. And then Justin had the best idea ever, which was he DM'd me and goes, hey, what if I just drop off, like, the call? Just like,
do you need me anymore? Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, dude, you have to do that. And so just out of nowhere, like, I just go, oh, well, it's not his turn anymore because he's dead. And then Justin just leaves the call. And everyone's reaction was priceless. Everyone goes, no.
It's so, when you talk it through, it's so silly how invested we get in this shit. Yeah. But in the moment, it was so wonderful. It was just, it was so good.
And they were, well, they were also bummed because they wanted you to, they were so happy.
Right. Yeah. Just there. To hang out and to role play.
And it
yeah.
just worked out the way that it did. And they were like, oh, Eric goes, fuck, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Like, it makes sense that my character did that, but I really wish I wouldn't have because he could have been here hanging out. And like,
right.
yeah, it was the best. And later on, like. The other player was like DMing Justin.
I'm sorry.
You had the best. What did you respond to her? It was the best.
Oh, I said, dead men don't speak.
Yeah.
And I didn't respond to her again. She was DMing him. I go, dead men don't speak. And then I logged off of Discord.
Yeah. She was absolutely devastated. She felt so guilty.
I have to message because Eric messaged me too. I got to message both of them back just so they know I'm not actually mad.
And Seth, who was playing, he goes, after a bit, he goes, wait, is he coming back? Like, was this a bit? I go, I don't know. He's an adult man.
I don't know. He can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, he does whatever he wants. I go, honestly, in my mind, I'm like, there's no reason for him to hang around. Like, listen, this is fun and all, but like, he doesn't give a shit about what's going on here. Like,
I mean, at that point, I'm literally just watching someone else's D&D campaign. I have nothing to do.
You have no context for it, you know, or anything. Yeah. Like, you're watching them role play, and you're like, okay, this is, all right, great. Cool. Well, good night, guys. You know,
like, this was fun. Thank you.
But how did it feel? How did it feel to be back in that again? Even though it was unfortunate, this was like the worst case scenario for me. This is how it went down.
Right.
Because you were like, oh, I'm Ash. Oh, fuck, I'm dead. You know, like, you got it was two literally, turns of combat.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man. no, I was, it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Like I told you, earlier, I said, even though I didn't get to stick around that long or role play, the two things that I love the most are messing with people. Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing I love the most is messing with people. And I got to do it in two different levels. One of them was like, hey guys, no, I'm not feeling it today. So I'm just going to watch if that's okay. And then to just pull out the voice and start doing the character and like watch their faces. That was awesome. And then to have them kill me and make them go through that emotionally and then just drop off and just to know that that affected them was just, it was food for the soul. So
it's pretty spectacular.
But I also have to say they're fantastic at what they do. Like you are an amazing DM. They are fantastic players. It was legitimately fun to watch up until the point where I dropped. It was fun to watch what was going on.
Yeah.
Right when they started to make camp though, my heart rate started to go up because I'm like, oh man, I legitimately was worried about role playing because I'm like, I haven't done this in a while. And I was worried that like my neck was going to get red and they were going to be like, why is Justin getting red? So if you notice, like the whole time I was sitting like this, just listening and I'm like,
listeners, Justin's like leaning his chin on his palms. Yep. Like, hey guys,
making sure my neck and most of my cheeks are obscured.
I go, it's fucking camp time. Like, you know, let's do this, you know, like
it was so
trying to
fun,
find
though.
The right time to like, get it in there and everything like that. It was very fun.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
thank you so much for doing that.
I'll come back anytime and fuck with them in any way you need. So I have another idea
of something I could do for you. I'd love you.
Awesome.
I have something I could have you come back and it'd be fun to have you do. So we'll do
love
that.
Love that. So love it.
Everyone get out there and play D&D. Hey. So big news, gang. If you haven't heard about
Is this a Mind Gap exclusive?
This is not a Mind Gap exclusive at all. But if you haven't heard of what's this guy's fucking name? Whatever. There's a guy.
Donald Gorski.
Gorski. There's his name. Donald Gorski. 70-year-old man from Fond du Lac. Of course, he's from Wisconsin. Held the world for the most McDonald's Big Mac burgers eaten in a lifetime. Did you all know you could be competing for this? Because if you just learned that now, you're in fucking trouble.
Right. You're in last place.
You're way behind. This guy started when he was like 20 years old. He's been doing this for fucking 50 years.
He was the first awarded the record in 99. So he's been defending the title since 1999. Think about that.
So on this past Thursday, Guinness announced that he extended his burger streak after consuming 728 more Big Macs in the year of 2023 alone. This brings his total close to 34,000 Big Macs in his lifetime.
Now, Doug, there are 365 days in a year.
Yes.
He ate 728 Big Macs in a year. That means he's doing lunch and dinner and sometimes a snack.
Well, here's the thing. He's been like toning it down as of late. At one point in time, it says in the article that he was eating 9 a day.
That's impossible. 9 obviously, a it's day? Not.
Yeah.
I while see, he I used to heard consume of, oh up to
9
God.
Big Macs in a single day, Gorski now only has 2 on most days. One for lunch and one for dinner. Oh, he forgoes the fries.
Yeah, he forgoes the fries, so it's healthy.
He also skips breakfast, which is great, you know?
So he does intermittent fasting. And then eats a small evening snack, such as ice cream or potato chips.
Or a fruit bar.
Or a fruit bar. Good God. Here's the thing. I do enjoy a Big Mac, but this is... I don't think I could eat anything, any one thing that much. Because that's all he's eating. Literally, every single day, that's all he's eating. Yeah. I just cannot imagine... How do you not get sick of the same thing that much?
Real quick, I want to add in here. This guy, he bulk orders his Big Macs. So he does batch orders. So he doesn't go like every day. He'll order like his food for the week.
He meal preps.
Basically.
Yeah.
He orders them all for the week. And then he eats one of them fresh and the rest he keeps in the fridge or the freezer. And he just like... eats them cold or warms them up or whatever. So anyway, name a food right now, Justin, that you would eat.
None. Gorski food.
Eats Big Macs.
None.
There's
got
to be something.
I could not. There's nothing that I could do over the course of 50 years that I could eat. That's the only thing I would eat every day. Every single day for 50 years.
It's not the only thing. You can have other snacks. You
like potato chips and a fruit cup.
Yeah. You know?
Or ice cream.
You can have some ice cream. You can get some fruit cups. You can have some cottage cheese. Get some protein, you know?
Right, sure. I don't know, man. I genuinely don't think there's anything that I could replicate like this.
All right, Justin. You have to choose, all right?
I have to choose something?
Intergalactic trial. You're going to be in jail for 50 space years.
Okay.
Right? And they're like... you get to choose one food, and you're going to have it. You're going to have it as much as this guy eats at his prime, 9 times a day.
Oh, my God.
Is that what he did? Because that's what it says. Like, yeah, 9 in a single day.
Yeah. Oh,
so
man.
You're going to eat 9 times a day, but you only get one food.
So it does have to be like, it can't just be like a potato, like one potato chip every day. It's got to be, something
it's
of
be
substance.
Something, it's got to be in the wheelhouse of calories.
Right.
It has to be one thing that has a wheelhouse of calories is a Big Mac.
Honestly, if I had to choose one thing, I probably would say, I guess I would say a cheeseburger or a bacon cheeseburger. Like I think that's probably my favorite food, followed closely by pizza. But I think a bacon cheeseburger, if I had to choose, but man, I think by the first month, I'd be very angry at the rest of my 50 years.
Talk about having meat sweats.
How does you know he? What I mean? Okay, what about you?
I'm trying to think. I don't think I could do a burger. A burger's fine, but I remember probably because these were just poor quality. I remember in college, there was like the cafeteria where you go and get quote unquote real food, and then there was like the fast food like area mm-hmm. where you could get like. Basically just gross chicken sandwiches and gross like hamburgers and cheeseburgers. They're just like
the
sitting
everything
under
patty.
A heat lamp.
Yeah.
It was just sitting on it. And these things have been cooked to death. I don't even know if it was real meat. And I used to eat those a lot because they were quick. They were easy. They were cheap.
Sure.
And I remember just being like, fucking hell, man. This is, after a while, I was like, these are fucking disgusting.
Yeah.
And now again, if it was like a great, a well-crafted burger, you know, like legit things like that, that could be one thing, but I don't know, man. I go back to that of just being like, I can't have another one of those fucking burgers. Like, right. It was this, but also it was just, again, poor quality. I don't know. Maybe making like my own nachos, right? Like with my own concoction of nachos could be interesting, right?
Okay.
With the cheese and the meat and some sour cream or whatever. Like, I think that could be,
You think you could do that every day?
I think so. It would be tough. I'm in the same boat as you. Where, like, I don't know if I love food. I don't know if I love one food as much as this guy loves his Big Mac.
Yeah, you know even I mean? My favorite.
I'm a monogamous
foods.
Guy. Don't get me wrong, but when it comes to food, you've got your go-to foods.
How does he not die? Is the only question. Like the amount of sodium, the amount of like, I just don't understand how physically this works.
Well, this guy, by the way, he has the container and receipt for every Big Mac he's ever eaten, neatly filed away and organized by year.
That's incredible, I guess. I don't know.
That's a nice way
this
of putting
weird. It. It's just weird. Like, again, I remember hearing about this guy a couple years back, but did not know. Like, I think I told you when you put this on here, I'm like, I remember hearing about him, but I didn't think he was still around. Like, it's just, I don't know. When I like something, I stick with it all the time. I'm not the type of person who tries new stuff.
I'm a missionary kind of guy, you know? I don't want to do anything new.
He proposed to his wife in a McDonald's parking lot. His blood sugar's been normal. His cholesterol's been exceptionally good. How? How?
Yeah, man, I don't know.
Because he walks 6 miles a day.
You know what? That's... Okay, there's at least movement there, right?
I mean, yes, like, he has to. If he wasn't moving, this would have been done a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean,
because you look at him and he's not an obese man.
No,
like he's an average size body.
Yeah, 70 years old. He looks relatively decent for 70. Yeah. The bowl cut could use maybe an update, but you know, or I guess that's a wig. That's definitely a wig.
You think so?
Yeah, definitely. No. If you scroll up to like the video that's at the top of that, it's like a freeze frame. It's like, yeah, it's a fucking wig. You don't have white sideburns and then like very brunette hair. That's not how that works.
Hey, look, here's the thing. You don't know what a Big Mac a day does to you, Doug. That might
gives you a wig.
We haven't done the legwork on this. We cannot verify. We can neither confirm nor deny this, Doug.
That's fair. Well, I want to say.
That's amazing.
Mr. Gorski. Good for you. You found something you love. I'm here for it. Like, I know a guy from college who eats the same thing every day for lunch. Peanut butter jelly sandwich with like, what are those? Like the goldfish?
Yeah.
The goldfish crackers? Yeah. And like one other thing. Every single day he's done that for years. Like that's
he
his lunch.
Still does or used to yes. in college?
Still does.
Okay.
That's his thing. That's what he does. And I'm like, hey, listen, part of me gets it. I'm a routine kind of guy. Like I can live in a routine, but man. Every meal being the same, I don't know, man. I have limitations on
I'll
that.
I'll never know what it means to love something that I guess my wife, because I wake up and I want to hang around her every day.
Hey, good save.
You know, that's the only thing. Save. I'm just saying, I cannot imagine something that I would want to consume every day like that. That's just insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I need a little bit of variety in my life. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Way to go, Mr. Gorski.
Yeah.
Keep it going, baby.
Take that, depression.
He wasn't ready for that one, folks.
What?
He wasn't ready for it.
All right. So our game today.
Yeah, what do you do with that, motherfucker?
Our game today is one that we actually had a pretty good response the first time we did it. So we thought we'd play it again because I think I've refined how I do this. And I believe, I don't know, Doug was amazing at this last time. I believe I'm going to stump him this time. But we are going to go back to AI versus LinkedIn influencer.
Machines.
So
yeah.
I've got a bunch of clips here. And I've got 8 clips. Now, it could be, like you said to Noah, it could be 4 and 4. It could be 2 and 6. It could be all one or all the other. You don't know. So some of these might be AI. Some of these might be an actual LinkedIn influencer. And Doug,
for the record, I didn't count how many were and weren't last time. So like, I'm not a card counting kind of guy.
Gotcha. So,
I'm playing one-dimensional chess here.
I like it. You're playing my kind of chess. Checkers. Here we go. So Doug's going to have to figure out whether an AI wrote this or whether a LinkedIn influencer wrote this. And I can't even say the word in LinkedIn influencer with a straight face. Here we go.
All right.
People call you crazy until it's done. Then they call you for advice. #inspiration.
That's it?
That's it. Short and sweet.
Ugh.
Do you need to hear it again?
Yeah, let's hear it again.
People call you crazy until it's done. Then they call you for advice. Hashtag inspiration.
People call you crazy.
People call you crazy until it's done.
Until it's done.
Then they call you for advice. Hashtag inspiration.
I want to let you know, too, all of these are inspiration-based.
Oh, fuck.
I had a theme today.
Oh, boy. That seems generic enough that it could be AI. It also is very much like laced with some baggage of someone from their work.
Like someone specifically had a bad day and went to LinkedIn and said, I'm airing this out here.
Yeah. Hashtag inspiration.
Hashtag inspiration.
Just say it to me one more time. What is it?
People call you crazy until it's done. Then they call you for advice. Hashtag inspiration.
Fuck. I don't know, man.
Here's the thing. I got to say, I'm at least going to take it as a... Because last time you were Johnny on the spot with these. I at least take it as a win. Even if you get this, I take it as a win that I'm making you think this hard.
It's funny because I don't... I feel like I got lucky last time. Like I'm impressed that you're like, get him for this.
No, but you found, I feel like you found, you're like, okay, this is, you broke it down last time pretty well.
Yeah. I'm going to say this is a person. I'm going to say it's real.
You're going to say this is real?
Yeah.
Doug, that's your final answer? You're saying this is real? Yeah,
it's real.
You are correct. It is LinkedIn influencer.
It sounds like someone who's like, you know, part disgruntled and part blowing themselves. The previous one. So,
all right, here we go. Number two.
Do you make time specifically to hang out with your brothers or sisters? I highly recommend it. We never get enough time with them. Had an amazing last weekend with my brother, including an epic sushi night down in Miami Beach, boating down to the Florida Keys, and kayaking down a river. Hashtag inspiration. Hashtag motivation. Hashtag family. Hashtag fun. Hashtag life.
This guy sounds like a machine that wants to be a real boy.
Do you have family? I have family.
I have family. These are things that real people do.
These are things family do.
I'm going to say this is AI.
You want to say that's AI? Yes. Doug, that is an actual person who decided that was the thing they're posting to I'm using this in air quotes for the listeners, a professional social networking site.
I wanted it to be AI so bad.
I know you did. I'm like,
I want it to be AI being like, I'm a real boy. I'm a real boy.
Doug, I think I broke AI. No, I read that and I'm just like, this is nothing to do with work. Like, this is a Facebook post.
Right.
This isn't a LinkedIn post.
Yeah, what's it have to do with work? Other than like spend time with my real family, you know?
Right. All right, so you're 1-1. Here we go.
Sure. Work family might sound a bit cheesy, but let's acknowledge the strength of the bonds formed within our professional circles. It's not about forced friendships. It's about finding allies who amplify our strengths and support us in our challenges. Here's to a team that feels more like family than colleagues. Hashtag inspiration. Hashtag strength in connections. Hashtag allies, not colleagues. Hashtag work family strength. Hashtag professional bonds.
Hashtag allies, not colleagues. What the fuck? Dude, I'm going with the same thing again. I desperately want this to be AI more than everything, because this is an AI that wants to feel connected. I want this to be AI so bad. I'm going with AI.
You're going with AI? You
I'm
sure?
I'm going with AI.
You are correct. That is AI. Like,
I want to be connected. I want to be connected. I want to be connected to something real.
Allies, not colleagues. This is what we say.
Yeah, right. I've skimmed the entire history of the internet. I've heard of this thing called connecting. I want to connect with something real.
All right, so you're 2-3 right now. Here we go. Number four.
Ever wondered why superheroes wear capes? It's not just about flying. It's a symbol of unbridled ambition. My new blog explores how wearing a metaphorical cape can elevate your career. Ready to soar, my fellow heroes? Hashtag inspiration. Hashtag career hero. Hashtag superhero success.
Nope. This is AI. This is AI.
What makes you think that?
100% AI. Because they're just like, I wouldn't say it's too gross for a human to write, because
don't underestimate LinkedIn.
obviously what I'm getting from this is, again, is it's there's like a level of engagement in general sort of thing about it. Like, it's like, I'm trying to verbalize, put into
like, there's too much of a call to action.
There's a call to action, and there's just, it doesn't feel human. Like that post about, again, the one that I got wrong, where it's like, hi, I went kayaking down in Miami. Like, this lacks some specificity with it that makes right, it's like, right. I made this blog. You should come check out this blog. Definitely something a human could do, but this seems more like a trap that a machine would be like, come check out my blog. You now have a virus. You know, you're part of my army now.
You are absolutely correct. That was AI. Thank God. Three for four. All right, here we go. On to number five.
Happy Monday, my incredible LinkedIn tribe. Today, I'm sharing a burst of inspiration straight from the heart. In the world of real estate, every key unlocks a door to endless possibilities. Believe in the power of possibility. Whether you're a seasoned homeowner or a first-time buyer, remember, the journey is just as enchanting as the destination. Every negotiation is a dance, and every setback is a mere plot twist in your success story. Embrace challenges as opportunities in disguise, and watch the magic unfold. Every property holds the promise of a new beginning. Shine bright, make those deals, and let's turn dreams into reality together. Hashtag inspiration. Hashtag Colleen in the city. Hashtag real estate magic. Hashtag passion and property. Hashtag keys to success. Hashtag Dreamweaver. Hashtag Monday inspiration.
Hashtag. I think this is a real person, because I am tangentially linked to the real estate industry and what I do. Sure. And this is very much how they speak. And there was a hashtag in there that was like Colleen in the city that seemed mm-hmm. awfully specific to like a specific person. So I think this is a real person.
That is AI, Doug.
It's real. It's AI. It named itself. Is that what the hashtag was? Colleen in the city.
I copied and pasted verbatim. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you what I use for my prompts, but
no, yes. I wouldn't dare ask for that. But that's,
yeah, I
the
think
only thing the, was again, like I'm kind of like I'm not trusting because again, it was very generic. It was very general.
Yep.
With what it was speaking.
Yes.
But also like that is very much a real estate.
That's how exactly.
Let me back that up. There's some cool real estate people out there that
sure, whatever,
but they definitely lean on the inspirational side of things. And it's like, it reads like a generic post. So yeah, I didn't trust my gut. My gut was like, I was picking up on red herrings there that right. I shouldn't have. So
let's jump in. We got, what is it? Still, we're three for five now. All right, here we go.
Forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. And sometimes a daily choice. Forgiveness is not for the other person. It's for you. Forgiveness is not just given if the other person apologizes, feels remorse, or even realizes what they've done to hurt you. I have heard it said that unforgiveness is like taking poison and wishing for the other person to die. Who do you need to forgive today? Hashtag inspiration.
Dude, again, I want this so bad to be AI. As it's just like, what's it like to have poison? What does it mean to forgive something else? I'm going to go with AI. Be, Doug? I want it to be AI so bad. I'm going with AI.
Go with AI? All right. Yeah. That is a real person.
That is a LinkedIn influencer. That was AI, though. It's like, you must forgive. Forgive.
All right. Three for six. We're 50-50 here. We got two more to go.
Thrilled to announce I'll be moderating an Out of This World panel at the Leadership in the Cosmos Summit. Join us as we explore cosmic strategies for interstellar success. Blast off with us and reach for the stars. Hashtag inspiration. Hashtag leadership cosmos. Hashtag interstellar success. Hashtag cosmic leadership.
AI. AI is like, let's get him the fuck out of here. Let's trick him. Let's get him to another planet so we can take over.
Absolutely AI. Very, very well done. I do like the fact that every one of these begins with hashtag inspiration.
Yeah, of course. It has to.
Yeah. I cold LinkedIn looking for specifically ones that just had the hashtag of inspiration.
Way to go. So, nice job following the
and
hashtags.
Then on all the ones. Yeah. So I was like, let's make all of them have similar hashtags. Yeah.
Nice.
All right. Last one. Here we go. So you are, what do we do? You are
I'm four for three.
Four for seven. Yeah.
Move to what moves you. Chase your dreams, but always know the road that will lead you home again. Hashtag inspiration. Hashtag lifestyle. Hashtag best of the best. Hashtag home. Hashtag home life. Hashtag Southern style. Hashtag legendary food. Hashtag travel.
Food.
Hashtag home design. Hashtag home decor. Hashtag interior design. Hashtag real estate. Hashtag realtor. Hashtag I like Mike for real estate. Hashtag Google my business. Hashtag follow me. Hashtag love. Hashtag Florida. Hashtag Florida real estate.
You're an asshole. That's a person. That's a person for sure. That's totally a person. Whenever there's more hashtags than there are anything else, that's totally a person. I love it. Way to bring that back. Way to bring that back.
Oh, I just love the over hashtag.
Also, see, it was such a short thing too. I mean, nothing beats last time where it was just nothing but hashtags about gyms. But like,
I almost did that again. But I'm like, no, we gotta. Yeah.
What was the actual thing that they posted? Not the hashtags. It was.
It was
move to what moves you. Chase your dreams, but always know the road that will lead you home again.
It's so dumb. And it's followed by it's a shitload of hashtags.
It's a 34-second clip, and the first one. Hold on, let's do this one more time.
Move to what moves you. Chase your dreams, but always know the road that will lead you home again.
5 seconds. It's a 34. It's almost 30. It's 34.9. So it's 35 seconds. Five of those 35 is the thing, and then
that's one of those like really dumb antique signs you see in someone's kitchen. You know, that's like,
oh yeah,
eat, pray, love. You know, or whatever they have just hanging up, and it's just like, oh my god. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Woo. All right.
There you go.
I was 5-3. I'll take it.
All right. There you go.
I love it.
Whew.
Wow. That was fun. I tell you, man, there's so many of those where I'm like, oh, I want this to be AI so bad.
I know.
This needs to be AI. This needs to be AI crying from the other side, being like, let me be real, please.
So, more difficult than last time, and it's only going to get harder for you.
It was tricky. It was good.
Yeah.
It was very, very good. All right, Justin, before we wrap up here, what's something you want to recommend for the PPs out there?
I'm going
to
recommend from last year. It came out. We just watched it, but I'm going to recommend A Small Light. It is currently streaming on Hulu, and it follows the story of Miep Gijs, who is the woman, Dutch woman, who sheltered the Frank family in Amsterdam and also helped smuggle out and hide a bunch of different Jewish families during World War I. So she's the one that that hid Anne Frank and her family, and as was the proponent for Anne Frank's dad Otto ended up publishing the diary, but Miep was the woman who also like pushed for that to happen as well. And so really, really interesting miniseries. I think it's like 8 episodes. Oddly produced by National Geographic. And I thought that was going to make it kind of like a less than series. Ended up fucking loving it. So it's got Liev Schreiber as Otto. It's got Belle Pauly as Miep Gijs, who you would know her when you see her, you'll know her. I couldn't remember this other stuff that she's been in, but I think I've seen her in 3 things recently, and I think she's kind of on the way up. She's fantastic in this. Absolutely fantastic. So yeah, I would highly recommend A Small Light. Check that out.
Very cool.
Doug, what do you got?
I just finished this up today, but mid-90s. It's an A24 film written and directed by Jonah Hill. Came out in 2018, and it's essentially it's about a kid growing up, what I have to assume is L.A. area. And he lives in a shitty kind of household, and he's trying to find connections with other kids. And it's one of those things where, like, I don't know. I think I love coming of age films because it just reminds you of how difficult it is growing up.
Yeah.
And how, like, this, I think, captures so well the idea of just being like, you just want to be accepted. You want to have some place to go, especially when your home life sucks. Like,
right.
You just need a place to go and connect with people, and what you're willing to do to disconnect from that world and try to figure yourself out. Like, it's really well done. I really like it. It's on Max right now, so you can check it out on there. Actually, Max has a whole thing called Dive Into the A24 Art House.
Yes.
And they have like so many A24 films. And I saw that. I'm like, I'm just going to start rolling through some of these.
Why not?
And watching them. I love
A24. Rarely a miss in that collection.
There's a trailer for, God damn it. It's like, something about the glow in the TV or something. It's a trailer that just came out recently. That movie looks fucking
weird.
I don't know what it's about,
right,
but I'm in it. Like, I want to go check out that. That's my recommendation. Yeah. Check out that fucking trailer too. I don't know what it's called, but whatever. Anywho, gang, thanks for hanging out with us this week. Super fun. As always, check us out on our social medias at Mind Gap Podcast. Check the link in the description for links to Discord, to Patreon, to our merch. I live stream on Fridays at 8 p.m. Central right here, youtube.com/MindGapPodcast. So check us out there. And check out Justin online as well.
On Instagram, @Justin_Michael, spelled M-I-K-E-L. It's the fun way of spelling it. While you're in the online realm, any place where you can find and consume quality podcast, you can find and consume us. We'd appreciate it. Like, subscribe, rate, review, all those things. The big one is sharing. Share us around. Let other people know that we exist. TwoEastEighth.com, TwoEastEighth and all social medias. LoveAndImprovFilm.com, LoveAndImprovFilm on Instagram.
Booyah! Well, with that, I will say, Justin, thank you.
Douglas, thank you.
Listeners and viewers, thank you. You all have a dandy fucking week.
Mind Gap Podcast.